Welcome to the FemNation podcast, where we wholeheartedly believe women entrepreneurs can rise together. Success comes in many flavors. There are no secret strategies. Women entrepreneurs are rewriting history by defining success on their own terms. Hi, I'm White of Gannon, the down-to-earth chick with a different name. Entrepreneur and founder of the Female Entrepreneur Movement, our business is dedicated to helping women start and grow their businesses, increasing financial independence. Each week, join me for inspiring stories and powerful interviews of women entrepreneurs sharing their lessons to success to help you take your business to the next level. Now, let's go for it. Welcome back to the FemNation podcast, everyone. Today, I have the hormone goddess herself, Leslie Carol Botha. Thank you for coming on, Leslie.
You are so welcome. Thank you so much for the invite.
You bet. So let's start with the question of the hour. How did your entrepreneurial journey start?
That is a very good question. and it started many moons ago. Someone just posted on Facebook yesterday, 30 years ago, and it was 1990. 30 years ago, is that possible? Anyway, and when we used to say 30 years ago, it was like 1970. So my journey started a while ago. Oh man, lots of history, lots of things I could lead up to that. I'm going to do it just briefly. Okay. I didn't know what my journey was. I was growing up in New Jersey in a white Protestant family, church going, blah, blah, blah. And when I was 12 years old, I'm thinking somewhere in there, 10, 11, 12, my mother was a Girl Scout leader. I went to Girl Scout camp my first time away from her. And I remember wandering away from camp, sitting down on the side of a lake and missing my mother, just heartbroken, missing her, sobbing, you know, knees up, your hands around your knees, sobbing. And then I heard in my head, I am your mother. And I looked up and there was the full moon and it was right over the lake. And I heard in my head, I am your mother. And it was the most incredible, peaceful sound. And of course the moon rays, you know, as they do, they come across the lake and they just envelop you. And long story short is I went back to camp and I was fine, but that always resonated with me. I am your mother. And so the moon always played a large part in my life. Fast forward, I was 16. My father was a pharmaceutical packaging salesman. He told me somewhere around that time, never believe everything that's being advertised. He was obviously very discouraged with what he saw going on in the pharmaceutical industry. And actually, the very first job my sister and I had at 16 and 17, I was 17, I guess, was in the pharmaceutical packaging plant where he was a representative. Mm-hmm. And we were packaging up birth controls on the line with all of these other women. So here, the full moon over here, and I hear is packaging birth control over here. And my whole life has developed around those two points, which is just interesting. So again, fast forward, I was in college, upstate New York, not Ivy League, but right under. It was Hope Barton William Smith College, and left after 2 years because I couldn't understand the language. Everyone was going to Wall Street. They were preppies. It was not my path. I didn't know what my path was. So when I got into my second year, I took third and fourth year classes, had a great education, left in a hippie van on our way to Alaska and ended up in Seattle. But again, long story short, I ended up at Planned Parenthood in Fort Collins, Colorado for an annual exam. Learned more about my body in 30 days. Now again, this is the 70s, all right? This was our 30 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. This was the 70s. When feminists ruled,
right?
I mean, we were ruling. We had voices. We were using our voices, and we were being heard. And Planned Parenthood at that time, has so many different connotations now, was truly a feminist organization, as so many organizations were until they became sucked into the corporate. Right.
Right.
That's the process. Right. So I was just enthralled. I learned so much about my body. I started volunteering there. I found my passion. I found my interest. And the director of the clinic took me into her library, into her office, and she had a wall filled with books. And she said, read. I mean, every time I was in college and up until that point, everything in my life was like, there's got to be something more to this. There's got to be something more. I mean, this is just doesn't even make sense, right?
Right.
So, and I tell that to women even to this day. Remember, this is not our reality. Remember, what you're seeing on the news is not our reality. This is not the reality we would have crafted if we had a voice, if we had a choice, if we had a say, if we were recognized. So here I walk into her library in my early 20s, or into her office, her library, and start reading books written by women about women on history and archaeology and mythology and religion, politics, economics, and the history of the world and women's roles in the world and the importance of the matriarchy, the importance of goddesses.
Oh, yeah.
And the common theme through all of it was the menstrual cycle. And that's really what started me on my path. And the beauty and the sacredness of the menstrual cycle and how it relates to life. Think about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Women have this innate power to bring life into the world, to nurture and sustain life. Without women, there would be no life.
Right.
Well, yeah. Except that's changing. That's another conversation because now it's all artificial insemination, right? But back in the day, that was it. So there I had this... I read medical textbooks. I became a medical assistant, training, just intrigued by it all. I read my first gynecological text and went, what the hell? Mm-hmm. This is nothing more than the manipulation and intervention of a natural cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it.
Yep.
We are, women are, the only species on this planet, the only species on this planet who are lobotomized.
Mm-hmm.
With synthetic hormones via birth control, electroshock therapy, which has been used on us traditionally. We are the only species that have our breasts lobbed off, our uteruses ripped out, our ovaries ripped out, and we have plastic surgery on our vaginas. I mean, really, can you see your vagina? I can't see my vagina. I said that and I bent over at a conference in the UK and looked down. And I said, I can't see my vagina. So why am I having plastic surgery?
Right.
Well, the obvious is the obvious. Mm-hmm. All right. We've been objectified, sexified, vilified, and our body is the battleground. And Germaine Greer said it best. In her book, I can't remember the title, but I can get it for anyone if they want it.
Okay.
So this started my path, my feminist path. I became, during my time at Planned Parenthood, the president of the Fort Collins chapter of the National Organization of Women. I was very vocal on the Human Life Amendment, which we did as a nation, as a women's community passed through, and on the Equal Rights Amendment, which we lost. I held rallies. From there, I just went off on my passion. I didn't intend to be an entrepreneur. In fact, when I woke up when I was 60, I went, where is that 401k?
Yeah.
Where is that IRA? And what the hell were you thinking that you were going to save women in this world? I mean, really? But that's what I chose to do. And I have done that in various forms through a radio show that I hosted for on and off different platforms for 30 years. I published a magazine called Changing Woman Magazine out of Fort Collins, Colorado. I co-authored a book called Understanding Your Mind, Mood, and Hormone Cycle, because when I was standing at that desk at Planned Parenthood, I had women's charts in my hand, and I could see that they were coming into the clinic at the same time of the month for the same problem. It was day 26. They were in for a migraine. Mm-hmm. Another woman was in for a UTI. Another one was in for a herpes outbreak. But it was always cyclical. It was always around the same day. And that's when, oh my gosh, if this is happening in a cyclical rhythm, which we don't understand because we don't understand the beauty of cycles, then it's actually preventable if women became aware of what was going on with their bodies. And that's 90% of women's problems and why we become victims to this, the pharmaceutical medical industry that likes to prescribe us drugs and likes to take our body parts away from us, is that we've never been educated about our bodies, our minds, moods, and hormone cycles. We're running along, we're doing fine for three weeks out of the month, and all of a sudden we hit that one day, and this woman said it beautifully the other day, before I even wake up, I realized I've become a prisoner of my hormones. Mm. I am no longer in control of who I am and my behaviors. Now, when we wrote this co-authored this book, it took 9 years and researched and footnoted it, blah, 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 and published it in 2013. It was a different world. And we were working off a paradigm that was held true for so many years, that women's hormones rise and then they fall, just like a wave reaches its crescendo and then crashes to shore and then moves back out to the ocean. And it is a dance and it's a rhythm. And that used to be the way it is. But today we have so many endocrine disruptors in our lives and the epigenetic effects of synthetic hormones, that this gentle wave rising and crashing to the shore model no longer exists for women today who are suffering from hormone imbalance and actually having allergic reaction to their sex hormones. It is, this rise and fall is now like climbing to the top of Mount Everest and free falling off the other side. And that's how far down the rabbit hole they are falling. So what we came to know as premenstrual syndrome is now a clinical diagnosis and mental illness in the DM5, which is the psychiatrist's Bible, as known as a mental illness, as I just said, but it's called premenstrual dysphoric disorder. It's like PMS on steroids. Mm. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands of women who are suffering from this. I've sat on the board for the International Association for Premenstrual Dysphoric Disorder, spoke at their conference a couple of years, and then a Harvard gynecologist stood up and she made the case for a relationship between progestin birth control, which is the primary birth control on the market, and premenstrual dysphoric disorder. Mm-hmm. Where am I going with this? Premenstrual dysphoric disorder is probably chemically induced. Oh, think of that. We are screwing with our hormones. Everything we ingest, inject, implant, insert into our bodies in the form of birth control is all a synthetic hormone. Your hormones are chemical messengers. They tell your brain what to do. They tell your body what to do. They tell your mind what to do. They tell your behaviors, how you're going to act on a certain day, what to do. Now, this situation is causing hell in women's lives. Mm-hmm. Some are suicidal. Some commit suicide. Some are afraid to being alone with their children. Their partners suffer. I've seen partners who are suffering from PTSD. I'm in touch right now with a man in the UK who every month his wife is just gone. Wow. Gone. She is wrapped up into a hellhole in her mind that he can't reach her until she gets her period and it's all over. And then it happens again. These women know, these women in these groups, they have like a 2-week window out of 4 weeks. 2 weeks of clarity, 2 weeks of hell every single month. Can you imagine living like that? No, these are serious issues. So this is where I became an entrepreneur. I've worked with at-risk girls. I love working with at-risk girls. I would do it again in a heartbeat. I created a menstrual health education program for a treatment center here in Colorado. And that's a story. Am I wandering too much? Am I still on track for you?
No, you're totally fine. I do have a question for you though. How do you think, and I believe that this has a correlation into the entrepreneurial space, the inequality in entrepreneurs, between the genders in entrepreneur space. So how do you view it? Sorry, I keep kicking my stand here. How do you view it for women entrepreneurs, though? Because, and this is a piece of why the podcast exists, why this podcast exists, is because one, we don't stand and own our voice very well. We're conditioned not to do it that way. But the hormone piece might be playing a part of that, too. But also, I want to open the space for more women to come forward and, you know, have that confidence, be assertive, you know, own the space and not just say, hey, this is just a hobby of what I'm doing because it doesn't sound sexy or great, or it doesn't sound as awesome as, you know, a board of 15 men that have this really cool corporation. You know, it doesn't happen that way. And women are also not on those boards as well in general in business. So the whole thing of that plays into the hormone side of women. And in the entrepreneurial space, that might explain why there is such an imbalance. And it's not because the male counterparts are so against us being there. They don't understand women because they have no idea what it's like to be a woman and they have no idea how that works. But is there a correlation? Can you confirm or can you you know, talk about the correlation between women and hormones and being entrepreneurs and the difference in that world?
Yeah, I can say it in one word. Yes.
Yes. Fantastic. Well done.
The deal. So back in the 70s and the 80s, the birth control pill, or in the 60s really, the birth control pill came on the market, really started building steam, and it was really a gateway for women to become greater participants in society. And in fact, here's a little tidbit, some trivia, I know you won't know, and I didn't know until I read a great book about it, is that the suffragist movement and Gloria Steinem's women's movement were successful because of one thing. Can you guess what that could be? The availability of femcare products.
Oh, yes.
Until the suffragist movement. And why do you think women wore big Victorian skirts? It's because they wouldn't bleed through and they wore so many layers. Up until the suffragist movement in particular, women were relegated to their house one or two times a month, say a week out of a month, right? Mm-hmm. It put them out of commission. They were bleeding everywhere. Right. The same thing with Gloria Steinem's movement. And we really had tampons. If you look at the history of products, femcare products, and the evolution of women, it really goes hand in hand. And that's why there's such a big push overseas to get these young girls in India and Africa menstrual femcare mm-hmm. products, so right. they can be participants in their own educational process. So once we had all of that in place, and then you added birth control to that, well, I mean, we could have sex and not get pregnant and, you know, and it was a great time. We weren't passing STDs around like they were Halloween candy. It was really a great time. All of that has changed. Mm-hmm. However, birth control certainly came with its own set of problems, which were unknown, rarely discussed. We were told it was all in our heads. For women who opted not to go on birth control, they often became prisoners of their hormone cycles because they didn't understand the shifts that were going on. For example, well, I'll get to these at-risk girls in a little bit. For example, the way the body works is that we get our periods, it's about 2 weeks till ovulation, and then once ovulation takes place, then we kind of start falling down the slide into menstruation, which is a beautiful process of letting go. And then we hit, you know, then we have our periods, right? Mm-hmm. So but what happened to women is like, oh my God, I'm doing great. I'm moving mountains. I'm moving this business forward. And then boom, they hit the rabbit hole and they're going, I was doing so great yesterday. What's wrong with me today? I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I'm self-doubting myself. I'm overweight. My face is breaking out. I'm having arguments with my husbands and my kids, and they didn't understand what was going on. So we were the creators of our own sabotage. Mm-hmm. We would self-sabotage. Right. Month after month after month, we'd have our periods and we'd start all over again. All right. But it's like a hamster in a hamster wheel, right? You're just going over the same path and the same path and the same path, and you're not moving forward. So when I was at Planned Parenthood, somehow I put the pieces together in learning about how the hormone cycle worked, the follicle stimulating phase, the luteinizing phase, that's too technical, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Basically, your hormones rise, your hormones fall. When your hormones are rising, we can go out and we can do anything we want. When our hormones fall, we've been inundated with information that speaks to the negative. Mm-hmm. About us. We dive deep into ourselves. We're afraid of that. It's much easier to go to the doctor and get a prescription for Prozac, mm-hmm. and just avoid the whole thing, or get on birth control and just avoid the whole thing. But it really is, when you look at women's history and the cycles of the world, even the cycles of the season, and we're going to be coming up to the solstice here pretty quick, our whole world dances in cycles. Mm-hmm. There's a time to give, there's a time to receive. We forgot the receiving part. So after ovulation and that week or so, and we can't move forward as fast, but we keep pushing ourselves to move forward as fast because, God damn it, that's what we did. All right, that's what men do.
Right,
all right?
Right.
And we just act against our body and put more stress on our body. We forget that it's a time to receive. Mm-hmm. It's a time to take care of ourselves. That's what red tents are about. That's what menstrual huts were about. That's what women gathering around the kitchen table were about. Because, as I mentioned before, this is not our reality. So what happens is we can multitask and maintain and move mountains without even missing a beat, mm-hmm. until that phase hits. And we retreat into ourselves. It's a very intuitive, psychic, spiritual, magical time. And if you can start patterning your life around that, you're not going to burn out. You're going to keep your meaning. You're going to keep your passion. So, for example, as I would teach at so many conferences, go out. Move those mountains. So when you become premenstrual, especially that last week before your period, you take more baths, you take yourself to the spa, you stay home, you do your paperwork, you make appointments for the next cycle. What did I achieve in this cycle? What do I want to achieve in that cycle? Because a cycle is a journey of becoming. It's not the hamster wheel. Mm-hmm. It's the journey. It's the cycle into the next cycle, into the next cycle. It's a progression of life. And when I learned that about myself and started living with my cycle, I started trusting myself. Mm-hmm. Instead of feeling like I had to control myself, control my weight, control my emotions, control my moods, you know, drugs, 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 you know, control my fears. And I was on this other side and was like, this is who I am.
So you leaned into yourself, really, in order to accept that's
intuitive.
Yes.
I let that live. And that's what the kitchen table was about for women, and still is, metaphorically.
Yes.
All right. It was a place for women to gather. That's what the Red Tent Movement is. If you're not familiar with it, look at the Red Tent Movement, the Red Tent book, theredtentmovie.com. That's what the Red Tent was. Women gathered on the new moon, you know, and talked about mm-hmm. lunar cycles, on the new moon every single month, take off their shoes, leave all their titles outside the door, and gather in a yurt, in a room, whatever that looked like, mm-hmm. and come and talk about things they can't talk about anywhere else in their life. The rape, the abuse, the accomplishments, the fears, crying, laughing, music, playing, things that we're not really allowed in how to express ourselves anywhere else in our life. Mm-hmm. We've forgotten our spiritual self. Someone else just posted on Facebook, and women do not need to be protected because they are weak. Mm-hmm. Women need to be protected because they are important. Right. There's a paradigm shift for you. We are important. We add so much wisdom to, especially as we age, to what is going on in the world. We just don't have voice for it. But in there are more and more areas where that is opening up, that we can feel stronger in doing that. But it basically is not our reality. And so we get lost. So unless we learn how to understand this beautiful shift that goes with natural cycles and the dance of the universe and gain our power from trusting ourselves and going out into the world on trust instead of determination, instead of power, or not power necessarily, but, you know, drive, competition, having to make it, and to add that trust piece to it and start living with our bodies, we'd have less hysterectomies. Mm-hmm. We'd have less burnout. We'd have less women on antidepressants.
So let me ask you this, as far as women and entrepreneurship, in the cyclical nature of who we are as humans, how would we embrace the cycle if we don't know how to do it? Say there's a listener listening to this episode and maybe they're resonating completely with this, but they don't even know where to begin. How would they start to ebb and flow in their business more in a cyclical pattern, honoring that those different stages in our cycle?
Great question. The first one is honor where you are in your own cycle, in your menstrual cycle. All right. Day one is the first day of your period, even if you're spotting. It is the lowest day of your cycle. Actually, the day before is actually the lowest day of your cycle, right before you get your period. And anyone can relate to that. Day one is the first day of your new cycle. It's the first day you spot or you bleed. And then once your hormones start rising 3 to 4 to 5 days after that, you've got until somewhere around day 14, ovulation takes place. It's the peak of your cycle. You feel it. We feel it. And then a few days after that, then we start that shift. And for too many women, it's way too dramatic. But if you align with that shift and start working on prevention, taking care of yourself, eating well, and here's a little known fact, because when I worked with at-risk girls and worked with women in detention centers, immunity changes right before we get our periods, which is why women were coming into Planned Parenthood with all these problems. Our hormone level shift, immunity shifts, becomes more compromised, which we get colds, infections, everything right before our periods. We feel like crap right before our periods. But something else we don't take into consideration, which is really important and impacts all of our lives, is that when immunity is high in the beginning part of our cycle, we can handle alcohol and drugs. Now, I'm not saying addiction. Mm-hmm. I'm saying we can go out and have 3 or 4 drinks and hang out with the guys or hang out with other women or be social at a party or whatever that takes. Blah, blah, blah. Good. We're good. Damn it, we're good. Pull that one off. Mm-hmm. You have the same amount of drinks right before your period. And for too many women, we're flat out ass under the table. Because our immunity has dropped. Mm-hmm. Our tolerance to alcohol and drugs has lessened. So where we were over here on the other side, being assertive and speaking clearly and coherently, over here, we're a whole different beast. And we are acting out of rage and anger and pent up anger and not speaking coherently and probably becoming too emotional. Mm-hmm. So when I taught at the Larimer County Detention Center, 5 women in orange who I did not know showed up for my little class. Not that they had a choice. They had to show up for my little class. And they hung out in the blue collar bar section of town at the time. 5 out of 5 women said to me, after I told them this, no wonder we end up in jail and have our periods every month.
Wow.
5 out of 5 women. They're being locked up for disruptive behavior and disorderly conduct. That's because our tolerance to alcohol changes and no one even friggin' bothered to tell us that. How do you keep women victims of their bodies? You forget to tell them stuff. Now, I worked with at-risk girls in a treatment program, 13 to 17. Many had been sexually abused. They'd been in jail. They'd been in the program. The data I walked away with is that over 90% of those girls had their periods when they were in jail. In fact, when they got it, they got it. They acted out premenstrually, yelling, screaming at mom and dad, running away from home, alcohol, drugs, disruptive behavior, disorderly conduct, getting pimped out, all of it. Ended up in jail, luckily rescued, ended up in treatment. They got it so much that they would ask new girls coming into the treatment center, did you have your period when you were in jail? And of course, the first response of that new girl would have been, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
But because I spent so much time teaching these girls and sharing information about mind, moods, behaviors, hormone cycles, what happens, you need to be aware, they got it. In fact, I talked to some of these girls, now it's 10, 15 years later, and they're still very thankful to, mm-hmm. you know, the information I shared because it impacted them. And instead of a life of shame and stigma, what happens when you go into a juvie hall, right?
Right.
Labeled as a juvenile delinquent. Right. They came in empowered. And another pet peeve of mine is that we need to teach women that they have more value than what lies between their legs. Mm-hmm. We're doing a very bad job of that with our teenage girls.
Mm-hmm. It's still prevalent. Yes.
Right. So going back to entrepreneurs, long story around.
Let me ask you a question on that. How can we as women, as listeners, because I believe that our listeners are very powerful women that are seeking answers, moving their business along, and women in entrepreneurship, you don't separate the business from the person really. We really have a very combined identity as far as how we progressively move through the world. But how can we educate our entrepreneurial male counterparts or in business? How can we help educate that piece? Because I know the conversation needs to be had that it's okay to run cyclically. We need to actually embrace that. That's a change that has to come in order for there to be a bigger understanding about what can we do in the interim to educate our entrepreneurial male counterparts?
I love that question. I love that question. You know, women aren't the only people who cycle. Every life form on this body, on this earth cycles, and our cells cycle, and of course, men cycle. So how can we simply learn about your body? Learn about how your hormones affect your behaviors, tap into your phases, learn about who you are, and come from a place of strength. Mm. And not a place of fear, because that's what happens. These men, I feel so bad for these men. I mean, they've got strong women they're working with, and then these women turn into bitches on the other side.
They're like, what? What happened?
I mean, I understand men who get divorced in their 40s. They're done. They've had it. Ah, out of here. And then, you know, they go get another 20-year-old, and then they're in the same game.
<over with>.
Right? Instead of going with the wiser
gotta love
women.
Them.
Past menstruation into menopause. We're done with that. Anyway, learn about yourself. I can tell you, each and every one of your listeners, this is a wake-up call.
Yep.
Because we have not been educated about the importance of our endocrine system. The focus has always been on reproduction, birth control, STDs, end of story, beginning, end of story, and anything that goes along that. That's not who we are, people. We are the sum of our hormones, mm-hmm. men and women, except women have this beautiful dance that we do that if you start reading about the sacredness of it, you realize, oh my God, this really is so special, so sacred. The Women's History of the World by Rosalind Miles. Women's were the first healers, economists, agronomists. We were the first astrologers, astronomers. We were the first midwives. We were mathematicians. Why? Because we understood cycles. And all of that was taken away from us because we were too powerful. Because there wasn't a need for war and, you know, collusion and corruption. We were all just flying on the same lunar path. Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, before the most important piece of knowledge that we lost is when everyone thought that the moon impregnated women. And we lost that battle. We lost that piece of knowledge, and we lost it all when we realized, oh, it was men that impregnated women. It's too bad. Anyway, the history around women's history. How much do you know about women's history? We don't.
Because we're busy trying to fit ourselves into a masculine culture. That's why.
Exactly. And it's not our reality. Eve Ensler, who created the Vagina Monologues, who created 1 Million Rising, which is now turned into 1 Billion Rising, the dance that we all do on Valentine's Day as a symbol of stopping violence against women. Eve Ensler wrote in her book, In the Body of the World, and it was about her bout with ovarian cancer. And Eve Ensler has worked with women all around the world on female genital mutilation issues, abuse, women being stoned. She's gone into the bowels of Africa and the Far East and saving women and helping to empower women. And she ended up at the Mayo Clinic with this diagnosis of ovarian cancer. And the doctor up there said to her, "You don't have ovarian cancer. You have a spiritual disease." At the Mayo Clinic? Hello? Sorry, because I live in an apartment downtown. There's a siren. So maybe the siren's appropriate. Hello?
Yes. Shine a light on that moment.
You have a spiritual disease because women embody all of this.
Wow.
Wombs. We embody the trauma, the transgressions, the sorrow, the pain, the injustice. So she sums up women's experience in one sentence in her book. One sentence. Everybody listen. Hysteria is a word used to make women feel insane for knowing what they know.
Wow.
I'm going to repeat it. Hysteria is a word used to make women feel insane for knowing what they know. So when we're that corporate woman, that entrepreneur, and we're saying, no, that's fucked up. No, we're not doing it that way. And then we're just getting, you know, saying because this and that. And they go, what are you hysterical about?
Right. Oh, and I've heard that.
How many times? What are you getting hysterical about? No, that's not how we're going to run the business. No, that's going to put us in the hole. No, no. What are you getting hysterical about?
I had a situation where it was very similar to that with a board member that I was the only woman on the board. It was four other men on the board. And this one man, him and I had started having a conversation, and I had given him, you know, time after time after time of just letting him kind of, you know. And I even told this to him. He was mansplaining me. And I just said, stop mansplaining me, okay? And he's like, why are you using that word? And I said, because that's what you're doing. You're acting like I don't even know what you're talking about. And I know exactly what you're talking about, but you're talking in circles. You know, let's move the cause forward. Let's get this, you know, vision on the road. And then at some point in time, I became stern in how I was approaching the conversation. Not angry, not upset. I was not yelling. I was not hysterical. And I know this because I know how I've worked in several situations on boards like this before, that I'm not going to sit back and just roll over and take it because I know what I'm bringing to the board. I'm here to contribute. So let's continue to move. So anyways, he came at me and he's like, ooh, you're being very tense. And I looked at him and I said, call it what you will, but it's not personal. I said, so why are you taking it so personally? And I said, it's a conversation. Let's get through this. However we're doing it, I said, we're having a conversation. Let's continue to move through it and come to a conclusion then. But I mean, he looks at me like subsequently I did decide to walk away from that board. I resigned my board position because the nature of the board was not progressing. And this was what I was running up against. Their actions did not match their words. Their words said they wanted to do one thing, and that's why they wanted me to be on the board as a woman. But yet then I was getting this weird backhanded contradiction that did not actually fit. And I was just like, okay. And that's where this board meeting, I was like, you guys tell me, your actions say this and your words say this. So let's make sure that we definitively say which one it is, because then we can actually move forward. Right now we're spinning circles and you're looking at me like it's my fault, and it's not. So I ended up saying, this board is not where my time is best served. I wish you guys all the best. Thank you. I took 4 days to make that decision, to think about it. And I've heard through the grapevine that it was that I left that board because I couldn't handle the heated conversation.
Yeah. And that's
what it's like to be
in a male world.
And I said, oh, actually, that's not what it was, but whatever. I don't need to explain myself.
Well, you are your perfect example of everyone should be looking to you and listening to your show. You are a perfect example. Listen to yourself, mm-hmm. Know yourself, trust yourself.
That's right.
Speak sternly. Speak with power. All right. Don't get emotional. And so that they can move in and say, oh, she's just hysterical, even though they're going to backstab you and say that anyway. Oh, she couldn't take the heat, blah, blah, blah. That's a false reality. We're talking about false news, false reality. That's a false reality. Ann Wilson Chafe was talking about that a long time ago. How many feminist women were talking about that in the women's room, women's reality? We need to tap into our reality. And the only way to tap into our reality is to do podcasts like this, bring women in, educate women, gather around the table, gather in circles, gather and hear each other and get strengthened with that. I held a red tent for 3 years. And when we left that red tent, we would hold hands and just sort of meditate and just empowered each other to walk through that door back into that reality that made absolute no sense to us, mm-hmm. and to survive another cycle until we gathered again. That's what the matriarchs did. Mm-hmm. That's how they held life together. And it's become even more important now with all of the insanity across the board that's going on in so many areas. Now, the hysteria thing is, and Eve Ensler went on in a larger paragraph and said, what is the non-hysterical response to rape, abuse, to sex trafficking, to female genital mutilation? What is the response to children living in poverty, starving? And it was just like, you're right. We should be hysterical.
We have reason to be hysterical. Absolutely.
And it's justified reason. Instead of hysteria being used against us, we should be ranting and raging and said, what the hell have you done here?
And I want to say something about that. And again, I'm going to frame this properly because it's not men bashing, but our masculine culture has left their position by allowing themselves to follow their own desires without making sure that they are considering all of society in those desires, all of their household, all of their family, all of what they're doing. That has left it to where there's a major responsibility left on women, and we have bucked up and we've stood up and said, we're going to continue to hold this ball, hold this candle, hold this light, hold this space. And we're doing things that were not meant to be done alone. And society has to come back, and the masculine culture has to shift back and not be so eye-centric. And that's what happened, is that it became eye-centric. And now, but I do believe that we are entering a time frame, and somebody's going to end up quoting me on this, and probably somebody's going to just throw it to the walls. But I'm going to say this. We are entering the era of the woman. And I'm not saying just the really, really, you know, outrageous feminism. There's different levels that we've got going on here. But one, I would be interested to know how many leadership women, the women that we have stepping up into leadership, are actually in tune with their cycles and what to expect. I would be willing to bet you that the leadership women that are in those roles, that are stepping into those roles, are in tune with themselves, because personally, myself, it's been a journey to figure out what that looks like and understand the ups and downs and not call myself hysterical because I just can't understand why did I do that, you know, or why did I say that, or why did I react that way? But actually analyzing myself on a regular basis, and there's no freaking manuals out there to do that because our masculine society did not prime anything for this. They just bull in the China house, went through it. We have to do it differently, and we have to rise as women in an era where we are rising together and we are educating those extra, the outliers that don't know, and providing that opportunity, but making a stand that entrepreneurship, business, all of the things that have been making this world go round are going to embrace the cyclical nature of everything that leadership should be, including how the women are.
I love this. Now, let me put a call to action to it.
Do it.
Because it's dire. There's a Native American proverb that you can relate to that says, a nation is not defeated until the hearts of its women are on the ground.
Oh.
Women in the United States have one of the highest maternal mortality rates in the world, on par with Mexico. Women in the United States have the highest risk of premature of any other women in the world, a premature death, excuse me, of any other women in the world. And the top six health risks to women, I'm going to name the top three. One is chlamydia, which is a sexually transmitted infection. Number two, mental health issues. And number three is suicide. Out of the top six, those are the three. That has a lot to say.
Mm-hmm.
How the women in our country are suffering.
Yes, they are.
And we keep trotting off to doctors. We keep getting more prescriptions. We keep having more body parts ripped off. It's wrong. It's egregious. And we are the only ones who can change it.
That's right.
By reclaiming our health, learning about our bodies, empowering our daughters, protecting them from being sex trafficked. In Los Angeles, if a young girl disappears and if she's not found in 72 hours, she's gone, blown out of the country, never to be seen again.
Oh my gosh.
Sex trafficking is a huge business. We need to pay attention. We need to protect our girls. We need to, you know, when you were talking about, before about women and how many roles that we carry, I mean, Hillary Clinton said years ago, it takes a village. I'm sure the saying has been around for a long time, but it's very true. We need to become a village amongst ourselves as women to protect our children, to protect mm-hmm. ourselves, and to protect the men in our lives because they are so unhappy.
Yes.
They are as unhappy as we are. And they see a woman who's raging and out of control at home, and that's a premenstrual phase again. That's mm-hmm. when all gloves are off and everything we've been able to white mask for 3 weeks ago, I can do this, I can multitask, I can take the kids, I can take care of the husband, I can cook and I can clean and blah, blah, blah. All of that comes off in the premenstrual phase and we go, what the hell? I'm mm-hmm. done with this shit. And that's why we leave husbands, we leave families, we attempt suicides. All right. So these men are also just strung out. We are the atom. We are the nucleus of the atom.
Right.
We are what holds everything together. And if we cannot do that, all right,
right,
then the family, the electrons, protons are going to be erratic.
Right.
All right.
Absolutely.
I can't say it any more clear than that. Right, but we have to hold ourselves together, gather with other cycle-minded women, gather with other entrepreneurs, start looking into reading women's books about women, start talking about the things that matter in your heart and stop holding them in. Mm-hmm. Don't wait until the short stick hits when you're premenstrual, because that's when our inner voice comes out and says, what the hell is going on here?
Right.
None of this makes sense. Why did I marry you? What am I doing with all these kids? What am I doing in this job? Because it's not our reality.
Right.
And so you listen to that voice. You don't react. We do this thing, action, reaction. You don't react. All right, but look at it. All right, what changes can I make in the next cycle to help make this more palatable, more meaningful for me? Instead of like, oh my God, something's wrong with me. And that's the message we get from the husband and the kids. Mom, what's wrong with you? You were so great. You were driving us everywhere. The husband was like, oh my God, what's wrong with you? You just had dinner was on the table. You were so cheerful and loving and wanting to have sex. What's wrong with you? We go, oh my God, what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. Nothing's wrong with us. It's our time to receive. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that, but we need to embrace that. We need to have the room to be able to ask and receive and give ourselves that space, because we give so much that honor the space of time that we need to ask for that back somewhere. Find your like-minded women, find your cycle-based women, but definitely, you know, be aware, be awake. You know, it's our responsibility to wake ourselves up. And that's, I mean, again, the nature of this podcast is to have these conversations around entrepreneurship, because I find a lot of women are becoming entrepreneurs because the workforce is hard for them to work inside of, because it's still masculine dominated. So a lot of people, a lot of women were in this time and space where women are starting to become entrepreneurs much more often. And it's because of there's a need, but be aware of what that need is. Be aware of being able to make your business cyclical. I've talked to many women entrepreneurs that launch courses or launch memberships, and there are very few that are aware that time your launch to your cycle. Time it.
Timing is everything. Marketing. Us. Timing is everything. Us. Right? Timing. Buy into, oh, you're having your, we're going to do a C-section and have your baby on the doctor's golf schedule. You don't go in and have your breast lobbed off because of the doctor's going on vacation. It doesn't work for him. In fact, there's a study out about this, and I caught up with the authors of the study and said, oh my God, why didn't you get media attention? They said, no one was interested. The timing of breast cancer surgery for perimenopausal women is a study done by researchers out of the University of California, San Diego. And they found that a woman had less complications if she had her breast surgery scheduled on either side of ovulation. In Whoa. That window of time when immunity is highest, and women who have breast cancer surgery, right before their periods, when their hormones are lowest, when their immunity is lowest, have more chance of side effects, infections, and death. And yet we never take any of that into consideration when we're scheduling surgeries, dental surgeries, vaccinations, starting medications, none of it. I mean, you're feeling like crap. You know you're going to get your period because it's that feeling. Oh, but I got to go get my vaccination. Oh, but I got to go get that surgery. Oh, you're just setting yourself up for tumultuous cascading events because your body couldn't handle the interference at that time of your cycle. Timing is everything. So screw the doctor's schedule. You look and start tracking your cycle, start understanding where you are and saying, nope, that doesn't work for me. Need to have it around 2 or 3 weeks in this window.
It's based on a masculine schedule. It's exactly what it is. It's based on a masculine schedule. And it needs to be based, there needs to be a lot more in the medical field alone, needs to be much more given to the actual cycle of women. I believe that there is some, we've made a little bit of headway, but not nearly enough. Not nearly enough.
No, not with the women that I see who are suffering in these groups, and the men who are suffering in these groups on Facebook, and certainly the data I threw out to you. I mean, really, the United States of America, hello, we've got some of the best
Golly, I know.
Technology, medical technology in the world, and women are dying. Babies are dying. They're the highest rate of infant mortality rate. They die on their first day coming into life. All right, well, let's look at the trauma that's being induced by a C-section. Everything else that's going on, how a baby is being handled and how babies are being handled is horrible these days. I've seen videos like a slab of meat. I know that's
I know.
A horrible thing to say, but, and the other thing is, this is very interesting, and I know we're going to run out of time here, and I appreciate you giving me a voice today.
You bet.
But another thing is that I learned is that when women have a hysterectomy or have any sort of surgery, and men have any sort of surgery on their body, and if the organs that are taken out or being removed or taken out and then put back into the body are not being handled with respect, with care, with sacredness, those organs become traumatized. And that trauma can cause depression, anxiety that can last for years, and can also cause other health issues. So again, that goes back to childbirth. If that child is held up and spanked and then rubbed down and then whatever they do next and handled like a piece of meat instead of that sacred piece of life that midwives bring into the world, right?
Yes.
Instead of a technology, mm-hmm. right? Medical procedure, right? Mm-hmm. That we would bring these children into the world and hold them up and say a blessing. That's bringing life into the world.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing now is that trauma stays with these infants forever.
Yes, absolutely.
So there's so much women can bring to the picture. I've covered so much ground. I hope women get something out of this. I think the anything, just remember, hysteria is a word used to make you feel insane. For knowing what you know, hold on to what you know.
Absolutely. Leslie, this has been a pleasure talking with you. And I feel like if you and I connected in real life, we'd probably talk for about 6 hours straight about this, because I'm very passionate about knowing who you are thoroughly all the way through. And this is a piece of who we are, very much so. And it plays such a pivotal part in making sense of so many other things. But I want people to connect with you because I'm able to connect with you. I want the listeners to be able to connect with you when they have questions, something that comes up. Maybe they're just learning on this journey of seeking who they are and what this cycle is about. Where can they find you?
My website is lesliecarolbotha.com. I had a website for many years that I blogged on, and I had to just pull that down. I was taking too much of my life. But if you can reach me on Facebook at Holy Hormones Honey, that is my Facebook page where I post articles and talk about a lot of these issues, answer women's questions, or you can contact me at leslie@holyhormones.com. I'd be glad to answer, and I've spent a great deal of my time counseling, speaking, educating women, and honestly not charging them, which is why I didn't have that 401k, because to me this is information we should all have, you know.
Yes.
And it's such simple information.
Yes.
It's simple information, simple tools, simple resources. It's mostly a paradigm shift. So those are the two best places to find me. And thank you for your interest in what I had to say and what I had to share with your audience. It's so important as entrepreneurs that we understand our mind, mood, and hormone cycle.
Absolutely.
And that is the name of my book.
Absolutely. We'll make a link to your book as well. We just didn't get any time. We're jamming so hard on all the things that are so relevant in life. You do have a book, and I want to make sure that we have a link. We'll put a link to the book as well inside of the show notes. So guys, definitely check that out. And I mean, this has been such a deep, deep interview, deep conversation. And my mind is very full on a lot of this information. So I know that there will be questions coming out of that. I want you guys to connect with Leslie. I want you to have those conversations and get to know yourself better. But as I always say, keep moving forward, because as you're searching and when you're searching, you will come across the answers. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for listening to the FemNation podcast. Be sure to check out our show notes for more details from the episode. If you love the show, share it with a friend or drop me a note. I'd love to hear from you over at whitedovegannon.com or find me on social media. Until next time, keep moving forward.